I appreciate that. Thank you, Pastor John. And good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to see you. Do we have anybody from Santa Barbara here? Where's the Santa Barbarians? Yeah, good to see you guys. My privileged assignment this morning is to bring you a message relevant and coming from the life of Jonah. Do you know something about the life of Jonah? All right. I want you to turn in your Bibles or look up on your phones, however you're doing it, Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to read to you verses 4, 5, and 6. We're going to take a look at this man, Jonah, and just a portion of his story. Let's take a look at this. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." Now, man, there's so much in the life of Jonah that speaks to us and applies to us as men. Jonah ran from God's call. I don't doubt that in a crowd this big, there's some of you here, you're running from God's call on your life. Jonah had a bad attitude. I know there's a lot of bad attitudes here today. Jonah was prejudiced against and hated another group of people. That could be some of you. And Jonah eventually learned that salvation was of the Lord. And I hope you know this. But hopefully today, led by the Holy Spirit, I want to focus on what we see just in these three verses, Jonah chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 6. You see, Jonah was on the run from God. He was foolish enough to think that he could outrun God. You see, God told Jonah to go east to the city of Nineveh. Jonah went west as far as he could to the city of Tarshish. You know, seeing the color guard here this morning reminded me of something. Reminded me years ago of a job I had when I was younger. I worked in a supermarket and I was part of the night crew. We would come in and just stock the shelves and it was hard work. We had to just give ourselves to it. Sort of exhausting work, but it was good work for a young man to do. And it was just sort of regular for the men on that night crew to have sort of a party lifestyle. You know, of course, there was just kind of the assumed immorality among the guys. And there was a fair amount of drug taking, and that work kind of lent itself to it. But the only other believer that I ever really encountered on those night crew years was a man named Lenny. And Lenny had a great testimony. Lenny used to explain like this, that he grew up a pastor's kid, but decided he wanted to run away from that. So he decided he was going to run away from God as far as he could, just like a modern day Jonah. So what did Lenny do? He said, "I'm going to join the Marine Corps. There's ever a place I could go where the Lord's not, it's going to be in the Marine Corps." That's what he said. And then when he joined the Corps, who was his bunkmate? But another believer. And anyway, that's how Lenny came back to the Lord. But that was Jonah's story in a much more dramatic way. Jonah bought a ticket on a ship to Tarshish, which was somewhere past the Straits of Gibraltar, going west as far as he could when God told him to go east. And when he's on that ship, when he's sailing west, when he's running away from the call and the responsibility that God gave him, look at what happened in verse 4. I'm going to read it to you again. This is just verse 4. "But then the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up." Now, friends, I know that Jesus Christ has the power to calm a storm with just a word. Don't we appreciate that about our Lord? Jesus can and does do that. And many times when we're in that situation, the rocking boat, we need to call out to the Lord, "Lord, we perish, help us." And Jesus speaks that word and can calm that angry sea. But I'm also here to tell you that there's times when God stirs up the sea. There's also times when God makes the tempest great. when he stirs things up, when we're on the run from him, when we're not paying attention to what God wants us to pay attention to. But verse 4 tells us very clearly that the Lord sent out a great wind so that the ship was about to be broken up. Everybody on this ship was in danger. Everybody's life was at risk in a terrifying scene. You could just imagine it, can't you, in your mind? The wind's blowing, the sea is spraying, the waves are rocking, the timbers of the boat are stressing, things are being broken, the sails are torn, there's commands going out on this part of that part all around the ship. It's about to go down. Everybody's in a tremendous panic. Why? Because there was one man on that ship in direct rebellion against God. Now listen, there were many pagan men on that ship who were sailors. But that's not why the storm came up. Jonah had no business being on that ship, and God was trying to get his attention. But in the midst of that scene, and you can just imagine, you can almost feel the salt spray on your face when you read these verses. We come to verse 5. Look at it again. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. You got the scene in mind? Every man, every one of those pagan sailors was crying out to his God. Man, I don't know if they denied that there were gods normally, but when you're in trouble, you're going to cry out to some kind of God. And when we're in trouble, we do our best to fix the problem. We cry out to whatever God we might imagine in our mind. We lighten the load. It says they threw the cargo overboard. And when that wasn't enough, they just said, what can we do? There's nothing else we can do. Now, friends, I got a warning for you here. If you don't know the true God, and when I say the true God, I mean exactly what Pastor John Miller was speaking to you about just previously. If you don't know the true God, the God that's revealed to us in the scriptures, because I'm going to be straight with you. I don't know the God that you have in your mind, the God that you mentally relate to. I don't know if that's the same God revealed to us in the Bible. I hope it is. But a vain God of your imagination can't save you. You'll perish. In this situation, they were all calling out. But this is why you have to get your understanding of the true God now, before the crisis comes. Because when the crisis comes, you're going to call on the name of your God. And it better be the God who really exists. It better be the God who's spoken to us in us through his word. It better be the God who's revealed to us perfectly in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Away with these false and imaginary gods, these gods of our own making. They can't help. Now, there's a lot of people who assume that they can put off doing their business with God until there's a better time to do it. But friends, that's presumptuous. In the crisis of the moment, you're going to call upon God, and it should be the God that you've known in truth before, the God that's really revealed to us in the Word. But while the storm raged, what was Jonah doing? He's asleep. He's asleep right down there in the bottom of the ship. I don't know. There was no doubt a storm raging inside of Jonah. He's resisting God, isn't he? God told him to go east. He gets on a boat to go west as far as he can. He has this inner turmoil. Maybe the turmoil inside of him was so violent that he didn't really notice all the turmoil outside of him. But what a strange scene this is. A deadly storm rages. All the sailors, religious men, they're devout in their prayers to their gods, but their gods are nothing. They're imaginations. They can do absolutely nothing. And there's one man on board who at least has some kind of relationship with the true and living God. There's one man on board who knew something of God's word. There's one man on board who had some kind of worship and acknowledgement of the living God. And where's he? He's asleep. Folks, you don't have to be a genius to apply this to your life. Some of you are asleep. You need to wake up. You see, the nature of Jonah's sleep teaches us a lot. Jonah slept in a place where he hoped no one would disturb him. He's down there in the lowest parts of the ship. You sleeping Christians, you like to hide out among otherwise active and on fire believers. Jonah slept in a place where he couldn't help with the work that needed to be done. All the sailors are doing whatever they can. They're tightening this rope. They're letting loose that cargo. They're fastening this. They're securing that. Where's Jonah? He's not helping out with anything. That's what many sleeping Christians are like. They stay away from the work that needs to be done for the kingdom of God. There's a prayer meeting up on the deck with all those pagan men crying out to their gods. Where's Jonah? He's asleep. Sleeping believers, they don't want any parts of prayer meetings. Jonah slept and he had no idea of the storm raging around him. He's in a dream world of his own making. That's like the sleeping Christian, isn't it? Jonah slept even though he was in great danger. You can be in great danger today. You're sleeping and you don't even know it. And I'll add one more thing. Jonah slept while the heathen needed him. Sleeping Christians snooze on while a world needs their message, their testimony. Now look, there's some of you, you'd protest. You'd say, no, David, I'm not asleep. I'm awake. I talk about Jesus. Do you know you can talk in your sleep? No, David, I walk with Jesus. You know, some people walk in their sleep, don't they? No, I got some passion for Jesus. You should see me in worship. You know, there's some people cry in their sleep, aren't there? I have joy. I rejoice in Jesus. You know, there's some people who laugh in their sleep, don't they? Or some people say, no, listen, I think about Jesus. I really do. Men, you know that you can think while you're asleep. And what do we call that? Dreaming. That's where some of you are at. Now, the believer who's truly awake is conscious that spiritual things are real. They understand the reality of heaven and earth, of blessing and cursing, of good and evil. They understand that all of that is for real. And they understand that there's a real struggle between light and darkness in this world. And Christians who are truly awake, they refuse to sleep while there's a battle raging all around them. I'm not saying this because I have any supernatural knowledge. But it's just easy to say from the law of averages, if I'm speaking to this many men, some of you are asleep. Some of you are like Jonah. There's a storm raging all around you. The ship is about to go down. People are calling on their false gods, and you're asleep. Is it difficult to apply what you should do? Any one of you could come on up and make this next point for me. You need to wake up. Now, today, my hope is that you will. You'll recognize the seriousness of what's at stake. You'll understand that your friends and your coworkers are lost and perishing, and you're asleep. You don't care. You'll understand that your children and grandchildren are being indoctrinated into immorality and wickedness, and you're asleep. You'll see that your wife is neglected and uncared for. She's drifting into despair, and you're asleep. Your church needs help. The prayer meetings are neglected. Your pastor's calling out for some assistance, and you're asleep. Oh man, how can I ignore this? There's an important election about to take place, and you're asleep. How can you do this? You're like Jonah. I hope that you will experience what Jonah experienced. Look at it. What I'm talking about is right here in verse 6. Here is what Jonah experienced. Here's what you need to experience. But you have the scene firmly in your mind, don't you? The storm is raging. The ship's about to go down. The car goes overboard. The men on deck are praying to their various gods. They finally discover Jonah down asleep, fast in the hold. They wonder why he's not helping out. And then we come to verse 6. So the captain came to him and said, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." I can't get that line out of my mind in verse 6. The captain came to him. Your captain comes to you right now. Your captain is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has given that glorious title to us in the New Testament, that he is the captain of our salvation. Your captain comes to you. And what does he see? He says this simply, "And what do you mean, sleeper?" He's honest with you. He said, "Give me a little gentle nudge." How do you think that captain woke up Jonah? "Jonah. Jonah." He grabbed him with both arms around the shoulders, shaking him with all of his might. I bet it was more of a scream than a statement. "What do you mean, sleeper? Wake up. Life and death is on the line." And look, God forbid that I would say that Jesus would scream at you, but he'd shake you up. He'd wake you up. He wouldn't allow you to go on in that path. The captain in Jonah chapter 1 verse 6 said, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise and call on your God." That was God's word to Jonah, delivered through a pagan ship captain. It's God's word to you as well. Listen to God say to you today, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise and call on your God." Now, Jonah could just tell the captain, "Nah, I'll go back to sleep." Friends, you know that wasn't an option. The captain wouldn't allow it. Instead, Jonah did something remarkable. Jonah said, "Listen, Mr. Captain, I won't just call on my God. I'm going to surrender to him completely. Throw me into the sea and I will cast myself on the mercy of my God." Friends, isn't that what you have to do? It's time for you to wake up. I want to read you a couple verses from the New Testament. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. This is a little section where the Apostle Paul spoke to believers and told us about our need to be awake. That's what we're talking about here in this little look at Jonah, aren't we? Being awake. Here's what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians about being awake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 6. "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Men, spiritually speaking, we need to be active and aware. Active and aware. Stop sleepwalking through your Christian life. Now, look, I know it would be easy for me to say, "You guys are all here. Surely there's no sleeping Christians here. Surely no. I mean, you guys are taking a Saturday out of your time to come here and to do this. Surely there's no sleeping Christians here." But you know that's not how it works. First of all, I know very well that some of you men are here unwillingly. Some of you men got dragged here. God bless the draggers. And if you got dragged here, I'm glad you're here. I think God wants to speak to you today, even if you got dragged here. God bless you for coming, even if you were dragged. But secondly, as I said before, you know, it really is possible to walk and talk and do some things and still be asleep. I admire your energy. I'm so grateful you're here today. But I can't assume that just because you took a Saturday out for something as wonderful as this, that you're really awake. You think about what it means when we're asleep. When we're asleep, we're ignorant. You don't know what's going on around you. When you're asleep, you're insensible. You don't have your sensations tuned to the things around you. You got no defense when you're asleep. And certainly you're not getting any work done while you're asleep. Men, it's high time for us to awake. When I was thinking about this 1 Thessalonian passage, it sort of came to my mind a sermon that Charles Spurgeon preached on this. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher of Victorian England. And I love me some Spurgeon. It's amazing words. And he preached a sermon on these verses titled, Awake, Awake. And in one portion of that sermon, he illustrated how crazy it was for Christians to be asleep. And he used three powerful pictures. Here was the first picture. A city suffers under a plague. There's an official walking the streets, crying out, bring out the dead, bring out the dead. All the while in that city that's under the plague with death and destruction everywhere, there's a doctor and he has the cure for the disease in his pocket. But the doctor's asleep. Isn't that wrong? And then the second scene he painted. Here's a passenger ship. It's reeling under a storm and it's about to crash on the rocks. It would bring near certain death to the hundreds of passengers on board. And where's the captain? He's asleep. That's not right. And then the third picture he painted. There's a prisoner in his cell, ready to be led to his execution. The prisoner's heart is terrified with the thought of hanging from his neck. He's terrified of death. He's terrified at what awaits him after death. But there's a man with a letter of pardon from the governor. And that letter of pardon is in the pocket of the sleeping warden of the prison. Man, isn't that powerful? But men, is it any different for us? It's a very basic, direct message that I have for you all. Wake up, Christian man. You need to do what Jonah did. Number one, you need to wake up, and you wake up by responding to your captain. I don't have any doubt, not only through the message that I bring to you today, but through many of the messages and even the personal conversations that happen here today, God is speaking to you about wake up. Your captain is speaking to you today. You better listen to him. Listen to Jesus as he speaks to you today. So that's number one, wake up and respond to your captain. Number two, call on your God. That's what Jonah was supposed to do. Call on his God. You come to him in faith through Jesus Christ. That's really what the Christian story is all about, isn't it? We come to Jesus, who is the perfect representation of God. Jesus, who shows us everything we need to know about who God is and what he has done to rescue us from sin and from shame and the bondage of the darkness of this world. It all happens through the person and work of Jesus Christ, through the life that he lived, through the message that he preached, through the miracles he performed, and most pointedly, through a sacrificial death on a cross where he stood in the place of guilty sinners. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, he accepted from God the Father all the wrath, all the judgment, all the shame that our sin deserved. He said, Father, pour it out upon me so that it will not be poured out on all those who trust in me. Now, friends, it's not enough just to wake up. You need to call on your God. You need to come to him in faith through the person and work of Jesus Christ. I think there could be, just as an outside chance, there could be a man here so foolish to think that really my message here is telling you to turn over a new leaf, to make some resolutions. And you walk here with just this vague, Christless desire to live a better life. Friends, that's not what I'm talking about. You need to wake up and you need to call on your God, the God that's brought you, that there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Amen. So number one, wake up. Number two, call upon your God. But then number three, throw yourself on the mercy of God, surrendering completely. What did Jonah tell the men on the ship to do? Throw me in. Jonah, you're crazy. You're going to die. Throw me in. Do you want a life preserver? No, throw me in. I am going to cast myself 100% upon the mercy of my God. I'm going to rely on him and nothing else. Friends, that was faith. That was Jonah's demonstration of faith. No wonder that as messed up as Jonah was, and friends, Jonah was a messed up man, there's no doubt about it. But as messed up as Jonah was, Jesus could later refer to him as an example of the work of the Messiah. Because even as Jonah cast himself in to the judgment and the wrath of God, and then was 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the fish, and then emerged alive from it, so Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as he explains in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus threw himself into the fury of God's storm to rescue those who are far from God. You know what happened when Jonah went into the water? The storm stopped. Jesus threw himself into the wrath of God for us so that the storm of God's judgment would cease against us. Friends, for such an act of love that Jesus did towards us, how could we not give him everything? How cannot we say, Lord, if there's any area of my life where I'm just asleep, I'm sleepwalking, is it in my family? Is it in this community? Is it with this election coming up? Is it at my church? Is it at my workplace? Lord, if I'm just sleepwalking without a true sensitivity about what you want me to be and do in those places, then Lord, please wake me up. You need to return to God's will by looking to Jesus and waking up, and you can do it today. Father in heaven, this is our great prayer. Lord, you're merciful to us to awaken us at the needful moment. And Lord, I don't have any doubt that for many men in this place, today is a day when you're going to awaken them. So, Father, give us this grace. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ, our captain among us, to awaken us. We need this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.